First reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, the call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. And from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the raven. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these words and the examples that we find of how you work and how people have trusted you over the years, over the eons. God, we pray that we would hear your voice today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So as I was saying to the kids on September the 1st to the 3rd, I walked 62 kilometers from Troy Station to Inverness on Cape Breton Island. That distance is actually 95 kilometers, but we skipped a couple spots. This is in Nova Scotia. And along the way, we stopped in Port Hood and Mabou. So if you've been to Cape Breton, some of those names may be familiar to you. And while we were there, we were blessed to have Lewis McKinnon, who is a Gaelic expert and a Gaelic speaker. First time I've ever heard a conversation take place in Gaelic, and it's a beautiful language and a musical language. And along the way, he was teaching us some of the Gaelic history of the island. Gaelic is interesting because it precedes Catholic influence of the church, and yet the Catholic influence was so great that it is a good example of sort of culture and faith kind of merging and connecting together. And so so one of the examples, so he taught us, as I said, a number of phrases like schlia van let, which is the only Gaelic I remember. He taught us a few other things, but because we repeated that one so often, it's the one I remember. But we also sang every morning at the start of the trail. And what was interesting was he called it an incantation, which today, if you hear that, you probably think it's a spell, right? But really, it was a song, and it was an offering up to God and a prayer to God before we started. So every phrase starts with, God be in my. And then there's, you know, waking and sleeping, speaking and knowing and in our body, all these different things. And so I have a video of him that we're going to start with, singing this on our last day. Unfortunately, where we started the trail in Mabou was right next to a fairly major road. So you'll hear the car noise, but that's part of pilgrimage, these things. So this is Lewis and some of us humming or softly singing along to this incantation. So Jia Gama is God be in my. And then you heard some of his actions you could see when he drew a heart, when he pointed to his body, pointed to his ear. Each of them were different things, and it was a way to start our day with intention, which is something that we do as pilgrims. So back in April, I actually did another sermon on pilgrims and pilgrimage as the beginning of that book study that we did in the spring, where we read and we walked together. But I had never been on an intentional multi-day walking pilgrimage before. And we talked a lot in that time period when we were meeting about different types of pilgrimage. And in fact, Dorothy Day, who was the inspiration for the book we read, used to say that every day can be a pilgrimage. If your intent for that day is to live the gospel and to discover Christ in those whom one encounters. And I think that's all true. But just like we can pray every day, but it might be helpful sometimes to do a retreat where all we do for a period of time is to pray and spend time with God. Pilgrimage can both be a daily, lifelong experience and something that we set aside and do intentionally, which is what I did in September. And here's the thing about that kind of pilgrimage, is it is disruptive to your regular life. Whether it's planned or unplanned, whether it's something you want to do or something you have to do, that kind of pilgrimage completely disrupts everything that you would otherwise do in that time. I went over Labor Day weekend. So one of the things that was disrupted for me was preparing for going back to school for my kids. Because I got back Monday and they went to school Tuesday. Thankfully, my husband was able to get them all ready while I was gone. But it's something that you can't do and also continue on as though nothing has changed. And so I like this story about Abram, because he actually gets both sides of pilgrimage, right? Both this idea of it's a lifelong thing. What he does is he commits lifelong to God and to following God. But it's also completely and absolutely disrupting, right? He is minding his own business, taking care of his family, growing his flocks in Haran, as far as we know, perfectly happy to be doing what he's doing for the rest of his life. And then God comes and says, I have a different plan for you. you're going to go on this walk. You're going to go on this pilgrimage. You're going to take everybody with you, and life is never going to be the same. And God makes some promises, but he doesn't even really tell them exactly where to go. He's, go to Canaan. Canaan's a big place, right? But he says, go to Canaan. And I wonder sometimes, was Abram the first person that God approached with this promise and this offer? Certainly Abram's the only one we hear about, but is that because there were others who said no? I don't know. Or maybe God approached Abram because God knew that Abram would say yes. There was nothing, as far as we know, that was special about Abram. There was nothing about his life up to this point, about his parents, about anything about him to make him automatically the person that God would choose as the means for his blessing. But Abram said yes. And all that comes in the New Old Testament and the New Testament after that follows because of that decision Abram made to disrupt his life. Now, a three-day walk in Nova Scotia is not the same thing as what Abram did. But he often does come to us and ask us to disrupt our lives, whether temporarily or fully. Whether it's a call to a new role in the church, or a call to a new job, or a new school, or maybe it's a temporary, you need to be away and spend time with me, through pilgrimage, through prayer, through silent retreat. God does these things, and sometimes we miss out because we say no. So when I went on this pilgrimage, when I decided to do it, I didn't really know why I was saying yes. I didn't really know why I felt this strong need to go, but I did. And I was worried the whole time. I nearly didn't sign up several times along the way. In fact, at the moment when I signed up, my foot, which some of you have noticed I wear a sock on to help support it, was in no shape for me to walk 5 kilometers in a day, never mind 20. And I was like, what am I doing? But there was something that said, I need to do this. And so I signed up, and I worked on my walking and got a little bit further every day and every day and every day, so that by the time I booked my plane ticket, I felt like I could do it. And so one of the things we did every morning was set intentions. So what is your focus going to be for the day? And the other thing we did was read a small passage of scripture. And one of the mornings we read just one verse from what we heard Nancy read from Luke. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And we had a few people in our group who actually didn't know the Bible, who weren't Christian, who were there for other reasons. And they were like, what a weird verse. That is such a strange thing to say. What do you mean the ravens? What is he talking about storerooms? What does this have to do with pilgrimage? And so we gave a little bit of context for them, but it got me thinking, what does worry have to do with pilgrimage? And I think it goes back to where our heart and where our intention is about the way we live our life and the way we spend our time. Right? The way that passage ended, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when we worry, we tend to worry with our hearts, I think. Our heads help out imagining scenarios, but we often worry with our heart. And one of the things about sustained worry is it puts our heart on that thing, whether it's money or clothes or food, even things like our children or our jobs. Our heart gets focused on that thing that we're worried about, the thing that we're anxious about. And our decisions start to be dictated by it. Our worry can start to consume us, and everything we do and everything we say and how we approach our life is impacted by that thing that is consuming us. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about, all consuming worry, those things that we get fixated on that we can't get off of. And he's specifically talking about physical needs. He's talking about food and clothing, right? Because, you know, the disciples and people who wanted to be disciples with Jesus, they often said no because of things like, well, I have responsibilities to take care of at home. I'll come to you later. You know, we've just heard about the rich fool who sees this great big extra harvest, and instead of giving that extra away, he chooses to build bigger barns, right? What if I need it later? I better hold on just in case. Our focus becomes on those things and trying to prevent that worry from becoming reality. And the interesting thing about pilgrimage is you're invited into a moment to put those things aside because you are taken away from them. So all of my food, in this case, and this isn't always the case, but in the pilgrimage I did, all of our food was taken care of, right? There were volunteers who made the meals. They put out a supply of stuff, and we packed our lunch for the day. We would have a hot meal every night, a hot breakfast every morning. And we would help with cleanup and bringing things out, but we didn't really need to worry about what we were going to eat. I flew, so I had a small little carry-on that had to fit my sleeping bag, and as well as all of my clothes and any warm stuff I needed. So I had very little to wear, which meant I had no decisions to make in the morning about what I was going to wear. It was shorts or pants, which was based on how hot the weather was outside. I didn't even need my rain jacket. It was such a beautiful weekend. I didn't have to worry about what I was wearing. I didn't care what I looked like. I was going to be walking on a trail for 6 hours. And there was a certain freedom to being able to just walk and think and talk and pray and sing and learn and not do anything else. Now, I recognize the privilege that I have to be able to do that, and I thank you for giving me, for supporting me in being able to take that time away. And it doesn't have to be always going far away, flying somewhere. But this idea about finding a way to give up our worry, whether it's for a day or an intention every morning, this is a pilgrimage. This is something that Jesus invites us into. Because there's only so much room in our hearts. Jesus has room for everybody. He has an infinite amount of room, but our hearts here, we're limited. We're finite. And if we keep the things of this world focused first and foremost in our hearts, where is the room for God? Where is the room for God's direction, for God's requests? Now, what I'm talking about is not easy. It's not, you can't just turn around and say, okay, I'll just let it go. It's fine, right? This is a daily, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day resetting, right, of our intention, of reminding ourselves of who's in charge, reminding ourselves of the ravens of the field and the lilies who have food and beauty, respectively, without worrying about anything else. Reminding us that God loves us as much and more as those birds and those flowers. And to choosing to walk in trust and in faith. It's not an easy thing to do, but oh, the blessings are so worth it. Shlia v'alet, my friends. Happy trails to you. Let us pray. God, you are good. You are so good. You invite us to think differently, to work differently than the world. You invite us to trust you first and foremost, to have you in our hearts first and foremost. Help us to do that. Help us to reset if that's what we need. Help us to remember and remind ourselves of you each morning, each evening. We thank you, God, that you always promise to walk with us wherever our pilgrimage takes us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.